Third and final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly BHOP membership where the buzz is always about great service. It's Reaction Monday, brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. Paul Kaharski in for Robbie today, in Safar Producing, and as always, Monday, 8 o'clock, we've got our friend Corey Curtis, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, how are you? How was your weekend? What's going on?
It was adequate, Joe.
Adequate. Okay.
I saw Spider-Man. I thought it was excellent. So that was good. And I'm ready to roll. See some guys with pads on.
Yeah, Caroline Rexroad also said Spider-Man was fantastic. Have you seen The Odyssey yet?
Yes.
Okay.
Unbelievable. I mean, Matt Damon, tremendous.
There's another one. There's two movies that I need to go see.
I might actually go to a movie theater for one of those, but probably not.
You know, it's funny you bring this up. To me, I've had this conversation several times. This is the year that has brought me back to the movies.
How many people were talking on their phones or walking a baby around or all of these things that make me not want to go to a movie theater?
Number one, in The Odyssey, everyone's locked in because that movie doesn't stop, and it's unbelievable.
Did you do the IMAX?
No, I didn't get to do the IMAX.
Okay.
But I did the one where, you know, he's Dolby and the theater shakes and all that stuff. But it was still great, and I really enjoyed Spider-Man. I was locked in on that the whole way as well. So, but yeah, there's actually more movies I want to see this year. I'll probably go to the movies more this year than I have in the last 5 years combined.
I'm for it. It's been tough to see what's happened with theaters and everything, and
It's not the theaters, Joe. It's the movies. They haven't given us anything worth going to see. And this year, they are.
Well, yeah, but it's also, you know, people with their home theaters, right? I mean, it's kind of like the same thing we talk about with sports attendance, right? And so a lot of the movies.
Sports attendance costs too much money. That's about
the movies on par with that.
Yeah,
popcorn. I can get into a baseball game for $25.
You're not far off.
I mean, it's going to sneak in that licorice.
You can go to Geodis at a reasonable price, and I think we spent $50 on two tickets to the Odyssey.
Yeah, and then you get into the snacks. Okay, so speaking of get your popcorn, oh, wow, what a segue. Yes, pads are today, Corey. But to this point, what's really standing out to you, good or bad?
Well, I mean, you know, I went to practice Thursday, I went to practice again Saturday, and I think the number one thing that I paid attention to that I saw that like jumped off the screen at me was the speed and the intensity that the defensive line works. You know, these guys always work hard every year. There's no question about that. But you could see under White Cotton the speed and intensity and the violence level that they're already practicing with. That, you know, it has a Jim Washburn feel to it. And, you know, obviously that's where this team has spent their money. And I think I said it last night. If that is not the best unit on this football team is in very big trouble this season.
PK, agree? Clearly the best group?
Yeah, I think the best group and has to be the best group. But with the caveat that as good as it is, it still lacks a speedy, bendy, off-the-edge guy.
Absolutely.
Which a well-rounded group requires and generally contains.
Well, Keldrick, you said he's talking today. I know that he's physical, but I mean, could he not be a guy like that at some point, guys? I ask you both.
Well, I mean, he had 2.5 sacks last year at Auburn.
Yeah.
So to come in here and expect him to get 20 or 15, I think is kind of a ridiculous notion. So he's a big, long guy. He's 6'6". And, you know, I don't know how much speed he's got coming off the edge. I think he's physical off the edge. I think he'll hold that spot. I don't know. I think when you're talking about, like, speed, explosiveness, effort, I think that's what they're hoping Femi Oladejo becomes.
I wrote about Jacob Martin and talked to him, and he's got the most wiggle, probably. But I said, you know, people kind of regard you as the smallest, maybe? And he said, that misperception follows me around a lot. I'm 270. Now, they list him at 260. It would be convenient if an NFL team, like, How about if the Titans become the first team in league history to accurately list weights? Like, what would be the downside of that?
They did with DeAndre Swett, right?
Well, yeah, but
there are 50 pounds light on him.
All right, the super fat guy and the super light guy you can boost, but like the average guy, like Jacob Martin, who they list at 260, why not list him at 270, which is his actual weight? What's the downside of that?
I have no idea, PK. And could you imagine DeAndre Swett trying to keep up at the pace that those guys are going right now?
No.
Well, based on a picture I saw of him too, he'd really struggle in this exact moment doing that. So, okay, so I agree. Obviously, this best group should be the best group overall, especially when you just take into account John Franklin Myers and Jeff Simmons, right, anchoring the front. But is the offensive line the worst group? Could the offensive line be the worst?
Are we talking depth? Are we talking
I'm talking starters. I'm talking the guys are going to play. Let's say they even stay healthy. What's the worst position group on the Tennessee Titans?
Well, I think the least they have the invested in might be tight end. We'll see.
But Gunnar Helm, there's high hopes for him, right?
I mean, you're talking about a fourth round pick, and you're talking about a kind of a blocking burly tight end in Bellinger. But I don't think. I'm not convinced they're going to use the tight end as much as everybody else seems to think. They spent money on the defensive line. I mean, even Jacob Martin is a pro. He has numbers to back up that he can deliver. You watch him practice, and he knows. And, you know, you have to look at Moore, Bolson, Schlottman, all his guys, were available, and they were available for a reason. And JC's a guy who you're waiting to become the guy that you drafted. So you've got four spots out of five that are a pretty big question mark, Joe. And so I think it's fair to look at that and be a little have a little trepidation about what we're going to see this season.
Yeah, I think it's probably the worst spot. But it's got potential if those two unknown spots – pan out to not qualify as such. On the tight ends, I'd say.
Go ahead.
On the tight ends, I'd say the one thing I've noticed in watching them run routes against air is I think that group is kind of slow.
Yeah. Well, they lack athleticism now, right?
Yeah.
With Chig gone. You know, because when they had Delaney and then they had Janu and then they had Chig, they had an athletic guy who could do something with the ball in his hands. And now they don't have that athleticism. It's one of the areas where I push back on Helm being, you know, a top 10 tight end one day. I just don't view him as having the elite athleticism to get himself there.
Great. Agree.
So, back on the offensive line, Latham did speak the other day, Corey, some interesting stuff from him. PK, I would argue you may feel a little better about him.
Latham?
Yeah. A little better about his prospects based on the introspection that was on display?
Yes. For what a guy could do at a podium in terms of changing my feeling about him, he did incredibly well.
What did you think, Corey, about Latham and sort of where he's going and how he's trying to work on the mental side of the game?
Well, I always appreciate honesty, number one. I think that's strength in a person when they can be honest with you. So that's a good thing. I can't believe a guy who's 6'5" and 365 pounds could ever struggle with confidence. And, you know, he's basically admitting that's what happens. He gets beat, makes a mistake, and his confidence wanes, and he allows it to weigh on him. And so, you know, I give him high marks for addressing it. He wasn't too proud to say, I need to be better, because, PK, you see him. I mean, he looks like Bigfoot out there. He's gigantic. I mean, there's no reason he shouldn't be mauling people at the line of scrimmage. So hopefully he stays healthy this year, number one, because I can't imagine playing that tackle spot with a bad hip. But he's got to be close. And I know I've heard some people say he needs to just be okay this season. And I don't agree with that. You know, he's top 10 pick. He's got to be good.
Yeah, he's got to be good. And the other thing about the mental stuff being an obstacle for a top guy like that. I mean, I think people are put off by that because they think you got to be big and tough automatically. And I think we've kind of evolved beyond that. Most of us have, to understanding that there can be difficulties for a guy like that. And to me, I mean, he acknowledged it at the end of the year that that's what he needed to work on. So it sounds like he's done some impressive work on it. Let's see it have a bearing on his play.
Yeah, I mean, well, they always say you play like you practice, and for him, that's part of his practice, and so now he's got to play with it.
So, Corey, a guy who seems to be playing well, you know, making some people notice a little bit, Elik Iyemanner, who obviously, you know, one of the two fourth-round picks who, you know, really, you know, I'd say exceeded expectations last year, but obviously the top three, I think, is pretty clear on this team. Do you feel like he has a chance to break into that a little bit more, get himself a little bit more work? And if let's say really does get hurt, which, you know, at this point it's probably more likely than not, do you look at Iyemanner as someone who might even be a better option at that spot than a DK?
Well, I like DK no matter what the options are, because he can do things with the ball in his hands. And he gets the ball in his hands, he can find the end zone on any play. And that's not a lot of what this team has. So it's, you know, and the Iyemanner discussion fits into this as well. It's why I continue to say that Calvin Ridley, to me, is expendable, because he is not a part of the future of this team, and you're hoping that those two guys are. I want to see those two guys on the field continuing to develop. Iyemanner's come back in. He looks even stronger than last year. I mean, you know, kind of like Demaryius Thomas, just like a great, big, strong receiver. And he's made some strong plays on the football. Now, he's got to be more consistent catching it, without question. But I'd really rather see that continue to try to develop than try to milk another year out of Calvin Ridley. And I know there's nothing wrong with having depth in your room, but I'd like to see those guys on the field, both of them.
Last thing for you, Craig. I just gotta throw you that. Your thoughts on Tarek Skubal to the Dodgers?
You know, I've heard some people claiming collusion among the owners to make it happen, to get the fans on their side.
On the side of that, we got to have a cap.
Yes. And I think fans are already. You know how you get fans on board with that notion? You tell them you're going to cap ticket prices and cap beer prices. That would be a real way to get them on your side. But, you know, it's just inevitable that the Cubs are going to win the World Series anyway, so the Dodgers are just wasting resources.
I mean, I was hoping the Cubs or somebody would get in there and, you know, get serious on this.
Well, they got Gosman from the Blue Jays.
Yeah. That's not bad.
So, I'm all right.
Good luck to you with that. It's always good that you guys continue to dream your dreams. You had your one time.
Hey, PA, we had a good weekend. What is it? You guys took two out of three? It was three good games, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you need to be able to outscore the Yankees right now.
Yeah. You know, and that's the thing is, like, they've been swinging the bats bigly, and they kind of cooled off a little bit this weekend.
Corey Curtis, thank you, my friend. Brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic, and big week of pads ahead. Thanks, Corey.
Yep. See you. Time to find some things out. Appreciate it, guys.
That was Corey. We'll react to some of what he had to say and get back into the Titans. Robbie and Rexroad, 1-2-5 the game. Robbie and Rexroad, presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. For homes and businesses that want to stand out, not blend in, visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Now, this is a great band that Garski probably can't hang with.
That's too heavy
with Metallica.
For me. I admit it.
It's not my cup of tea. Little Master Puppets. This is Reaction Monday, by the way, brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors in Asheville. And thanks to Jess in the YouTube chat for bringing my attention to this. But Mauricio Pochettino, new contract, USMNT head coach through 2030. USMNT superfan Paul Kaharski, your reaction.
Well, he will not serve out that entire term. I don't think he would have taken this job if there was a good club job open that wanted him.
How does he not have an opportunity like that? Just because those don't open?
I think stuff had filled before World Cup was over. But it's not on the same cycle.
Okay, but he's under contract through 2030. How's that work with buyouts and whatnot? I'm in college sports mode on buyouts.
I don't know, but I think if he wants to leave, he'll be able to leave.
So you don't think that he'll be the coach for the next World Cup?
No. Listen, I think he did a pretty good job. They had all kind of infighting and stuff, and guys were treated like divas, and he got rid of all of that. And they scored goals. Now, they're in the same place as not being able to beat even second-tier top European teams. That's disappointing. They didn't advance further than they have before, though they won a new knockout round that was created there, and the defense was insufficient. I think the talent that he had was more offensive talent, and he actually got it to produce, and the defensive talent that he had was less than we've ever had. I feared if he left, we would have gone back to not spending money, and we would have hired somebody again like Greg Berhalter, and I have feelings about the ceiling of a guy like Greg Berhalter that I don't have about the ceilings of a Mauricio Pochettino. So I'm okay with it. But I've debated this with friends who feel the other way, and I can see their inclination not to go that way. We're going to play in his system for a longer period of time. I think the longer our young guys are with a guy of his talents, the better it is for them. But I think when he leaves and we change systems, that will screw us. So there's good and bad.
When I see this, my reaction is, okay, so this guy will be the coach next World Cup, and that's good, that's promising. You seem confident that he will be gone by then.
Yeah, I feel pretty confident he'll be gone by then. There's not enough meaningful soccer. I mean, there're gold cups and things like that. But
right,
also,
the whole point to me is the guy so we don't change systems.
You don't have to qualify for the next World Cup now that it's 30, now that it's expanded.
48.
And it might go to 64. Even bigger.
Yeah, might go to 64.
So there's no challenge to getting there. So the meaningful soccer that you play, there are some tournaments that are meaningful. But to get into the next World Cup isn't a challenge. And so then it really is a some build up to it and a 6-week camp to get ready for it and to produce your best thing, which is not the same charge as having a club team that you're working with, akin to American sports, a season in which you're trying to qualify for Champions League and all of that internal stuff, which is more of a day-to-day thing in terms of than a big long-term project. And I think most of these guys are wired for big long-term projects. If you look at Europe, Jurgen Klopp retired from the big day-to-day project, and now he's going to coach the German national team after he's done with the day-to-day exhaustion. Mm-hmm. I don't think Mauricio Pochettino is a guy that doesn't want the day-to-day thing anymore.
So just a quick side question that what some of the stuff you're saying made me think of. So if they do go to 64, for example, does that hurt soccer overall as a game because some of these Gold Cup things or whatever, these qualifiers don't really mean as much?
Well, the Gold Cup stuff is independent of that.
Yeah.
But the lack of qualifying, there's still competition for those teams qualifying. The back end of Europe will still be exciting. But some of these teams that are going to get in, the back end of Asia, the back end of extra team in Oceania, the extra teams in CONCACAF, it's not very compelling. Will it make the Ivory Coasts, and the teams like that? Cape Verde, I don't know. It's probably going to be too watered down for a couple cups.
We've had a lot of reaction to the rant and way too much like, oh, no, you absolutely should back in all the time, which – I mean, someone's seriously like
– it's baby stuff.
If you have a camera, then it's – then the you should be backing into spots.
If you have a camera, it makes it easier to back out of a spot after you've parked head in.
Yeah.
It's the same argument. Park like normal people.
I'm stunned.
If you have a big truck, I can understand it.
Yeah, I still can't. But, yeah, the idea that everybody should just be backing in all the time, no. Please don't. Please end that now. Ed says on the text line, driven by WilsonCanahan.com, is it fair to wonder, dare I say, that the Titans may have too many mouths to feed on offense? There's a problem I hadn't considered.
No.
They have some skill guys. They have some skill guys.
Too many mouths to feed becomes a problem if a guy's going to bitch about it. What has Tajay Spears proven that if he doesn't get enough balls, it's an issue? Or Nick Singleton or Io Manor or DK for that matter. Guys earn their touches, and you want the best guys to be the best. I would much rather the Titans heavily throw the ball to Carnell Tate, Wandale Robinson, Calvin Ridley. Let the other guys fight for the scraps. Give the ball to Pollard and Spears, who I'm not quite sold on, a little bit to Helm. That's it. The rest of the guys are depth. That's ideal.
Well,
too many mouths to feed. My God, they have nobody. Who's proven on this team?
Yeah, there's a lot of there are mouths. So, like, there is depth. There is some depth.
There
like,
are human beings.
there are many. There will be 53 mouths that are officially part of the Titans at the end of the camp. But it is. I mean, I hadn't thought about it. But I mean, at least there is some versatility. There is some depth. There are some options.
I mean, they didn't have too many mouths to feed when they had Julio Jones and AJ Brown and. I don't think Corey Davis overlapped with him. And Derrick Henry. But that's when you start to worry about how you distribute
John
touches.
Smith.
Legitimate guys.
Yeah, like Jonnu Smith, Derrick Henry. Yeah. Remember that was going to be like the greatest offense ever. Like Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, and Derrick Henry.
Well, that's much more of a problem than this.
Yeah. And that team was good, by the way. But, yeah, they ended up being.
Not because of Julio Jones.
Not much because of Julio Jones. Brett and Lebanon, big truck driver here, takes longer to back out of a parking spot than to back into one.
I'm all right with truck drivers doing it. If you drive a normal car, pull in on one try, back out on one try, and be more efficient in parking lots. People act like parking lots are the most dangerous place in the world. For the love of man. Yeah, driving around dainty. Look in your rearview camera. If there's a car there, stop. If there's a person there, stop. If there's not, let's go.
There we go. When we come back, we will possibly continue to talk about this and more on the Titans. Robbie and Rex Show, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Show, 1025 The Game. You know, PK, whenever I hear the Beatles, I must say, like, that is like, an all-time horrific take. For as many bad takes as you have, like Robbie's, like the Beatles are trash take. I mean, that's a pretty special
all-time
take,
horrific.
Man. It's all-time horrific, man. Robbie, hope you're having a good time.
Intentionally contrarian.
Yeah, that's what I wonder. You know, it's like anybody who says that's like, have you actually heard?
They just don't like music.
I want to hold your hand, and then you think it's all that. Like, there's no way you actually listen to them, right, and think they're trash.
I would think so.
I would think. I don't know. I would hope, man. I would hope. Nate says no, PK. I refuse around busy areas to pull in and wait an hour to back out because people won't let me go. Again, I'm fine. Like I said earlier.
If you're talking about a stadium exit, that's one thing. But busy areas, like if you're at a Kroger, you're waiting an hour to get out,
okay.
That's a you problem. You're under-aggressive. You're an alpha.
You might have passed out for 40 minutes of that. I mean, yeah, like that's just David from Waterton says, if someone can't bag into a parking space in one try, they sure as hell will not be able to pull into a parking space forward one time. Okay. I don't know, man. I really just don't understand it. I guess I hear you on trucks. If it's easier for someone, if it's a one timer, fine. But how often I have rarely seen people back into a spot and go boom. It's usually, oh, hold on, here I, okay, now, you know, how many times have you seen people one time? You're telling me that Simon Kaharski is one-timing it in these spots?
I think he is now.
Okay.
My kid backs into our driveway because to pull out of our driveway, our neighbors park semi-controversially.
Oh, we have a neighbor rant?
Semi-controversially.
Neighbor rant?
You know, across their front yard against the curb. And so for him to pull out, back out, between negotiating mailboxes and negotiating their cars on a relatively narrow street is not ideal.
Okay.
So he needs to come out head first.
So somewhat controversially, is it, have you brought this up to the HOA?
I have not brought up anything to the HOA.
What are their names?
Though there was a HOA memo that went out.
What's your name
that
names?
Said, like, by the way, parking on the street is really, you know, not what we're looking for, getting your driveways.
Why do they park on the street? They have too many cars, or they just park on the street?
They do have several cars.
We're going to name names here?
No. They're great.
You going to tag them? The at Henderson's. With their parking?
Like them very much.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, that's good. There's someone sent me a picture on the text line of Wandale Robinson standing next to Carnell Tate, and he looks like he's actually half of his size. I don't know if that says more about Carnell Tate or Wandale Robinson.
He's very, very small. They have to find ways to get him in space so they could use his quickness. If he's catching the ball with somebody right near him, he's, you know, I don't know that he's getting anywhere.
So Wandale Robinson... Little bit of a struggle so far, or at least, you know,
he had one
one tough day. He's also like one of those guys. It's like, I feel like he's done enough in the league. It's like some of these guys, Aaron Donald. You know, he'll come back and play. He won't play one single day of camp, and who cares, right?
Right. I'm trying to think, like, what had Adam Humphries done before he got here? Had he done anything?
Yeah, he had at least one good season with the Bucs, if not more than one.
No 1,000 yards. He had a 105 targets, 76 reception, 816 yards, 5 touchdown year.
That
was the year before he came, 2018, and he got here in 2019. And he maxed out in 2 years with the Titans at 37 catches and 374 yards.
But as you know,
in three starts.
Well, but as you know, that was not a reflection of his ability. It was a reflection of his availability.
The guy's tremendously quick and shifty. He's one of those guys at practice and a training camp who looked unbelievable.
I mean, remember in that game at Kansas City that they squandered. He was the target on 2 4th down conversions in the first half when it's like they're just moving the ball at will. Sure, we'll go for it on 4th down. And it was him. It was Tannehill to him that moved the chains. I mean, the guy at times was very useful. It's
one of those Titan-esque signings.
I mean,
They had a need for that spot, and they went and got a guy who was good at that spot, and he came here and he got concussed.
If Kyle Phillips was –
Kyle Phillips
remotely durable, remotely capable of taking hits from NFL players, he could have killed people in this league. I mean, with his quickness, with his production, he could have, I mean, not massive numbers, but like an unstoppable slot guy.
Yeah.
On a third and three, third and four. I mean, forget about it.
I might have been conflating the two of them. I think Phillips was actually a better practice player than Humphries.
Yes. Well, the disparity between what he did and because he embarrassed people at times
in practice
was, and then what he did was significant. Whereas Humphries, you actually saw it sometimes in games.
Yeah, and Kyle Phillips actually hurt his shoulder immediately, which was the start of his problems. The head stuff came after that.
Right. So first day of pads, and give us the rest of the week. Then they're probably going to be on and off some
today,
right?
Wednesday. I think Thursday will probably be light because then they're having a scrimmage Friday evening at Nissan Stadium, the place everybody's dying to begin to spend their last season.
So it's the famed. Annual. This is the last
annual blue and white game. I don't know. He's probably got a scoring system for it. We haven't talked to him about.
Oh, Sala's doing this like it's a college
it's
spring football
game. It's
called
a blue and white scrimmage.
Okay,
so.
And choosing up sides. Are we drafting people?
I don't know. I don't know if it's too early to ask him today. I don't know how much people care about that sort of thing.
I'd wait. But. It immediately sounds more interesting than the Vrabel punt-off did that 1 year. It's like, hey, way to read the room there, Mike.
He said he couldn't have done more because they practiced the night before at Centennial and stacking two on top of him. He was a victim of the schedule. But that was the most miserable practice to invite people to watch in the history of the organization.
So we're looking at it, this Friday thing, chance for people to go see that. And then obviously next week you start getting into.
We go to Santa Clara.
Yeah. Next week you get into the joint practices. So next week gets more interesting. This week at least we have the ramp up with the pads. We've talked a lot about the lines, and I think it may be that the best group is if we can call it the defensive line, you know. But like the defensive front, if you're going to include, like, I think Cedric Gray is going to be a good player this year for the Titans. The defensive front is the strength of the team. However you want to divvy it up, I think, you know, unless you're isolating the edges, that's the strength of the team. And I think the offensive line right now is the weakest part. So anything short of domination from the defensive line this week, I guess you could look at it as encouraging.
Here's a solid quote about the first day in pads. The reality is it gets a lot faster because the defensive line and the offensive line aren't really protecting. They're still protecting one another, but they're not operating at the speed they are now. It becomes much more violent. It becomes much faster. The reads for the back end is a lot cleaner. The receivers get involved in the run game and the violence in that regard. So everything picks up. And then on top of it, you're adding, I think it'll be the fifth install at that point. So the mental load along with the pads and the new stimulus and the speed. Here comes the big one. Usually the first couple of days are always a big dud of pads.
Nice.
Because you're expecting fireworks, but there's a lot on these guys' plate starting Monday.
Well, that's just exciting.
Yeah. So am I fired up?
I'm already bored of training camp.
Am I fired up to get out there? Hell yeah, I am.
But it's still an upgrade from last week, right? I mean, you're getting.
You would hope.
You get from that to this. You get from this to the Friday thing. Then you get to the joint practice and preseason game. And so basically a week from Thursday or Friday, it's like, okay, let's start the season and you're a month away.
Look, I think he's doing a good job. Like at every stage, he's going to basically tell us, like, hey, this isn't really that good until it's a game that counts.
And he likes the soft Nashville media core, huh? Is that right? He's enjoying the Nashville media relative to what he experienced with the Jets.
I haven't had a chance to interject in that. Like, hey, you wait until something meaningful and bad happens, and then let's see how you feel about us/me.
Just you.
Well, we'll see.
Go ahead. Say it. No, say it. No.
You're indicating things. I didn't say anything.
I'm not saying anything. You say it. You like to say that you're the only guy who asks tough questions, so.
The guy that asks the toughest questions, how about?
Okay. Are we done with the Titans? Like, I don't know. I have nothing else.
Is the show done?
Is the show over?
I have time to stay for the whole show today because they've shuffled things around a little bit.
Yeah, so what time does Sala talk today?
Sala, I believe, is talking after practice today as opposed to before practice.
Is that going
to
become a thing now?
I don't know.
That would be great.
Coordinators
talk
tomorrow. So it wouldn't be great after Belmont starts, no. I need something before. That would be better.
Oh, okay. So you got some conflicts. Wow, so you won't be there to ask all the tough questions. You'll be in there giving tough love to your students. All right, we come back, final segment. If anybody has any Titans questions for PK, we'll have them. Otherwise, I may vent about Tarik Skubal. Robbie and Rex are 1-2-5 the game. Final segment, Robbie and Rex are 1-2-5 the game. Paul Kuharski has been in today for Robbie. Done a fine job. And, you know, I hope that big – but you are not going to be done with a big goal by the end of the show.
Nope.
But I hope that you feel better about how I've supplied you with pop. Let's see. By the way, Robbie has texted us. Robbie, I hope you're not listening while you should be on It's a Small World After All. He says, quote, the Beatles are terrible and you all like them because people tell you like them. Yeah, yeah, that's what it is. I wasn't even like, you know, Beatles were of a certain age where people a little bit older than us were in their prime listening to the Beatles, but I didn't really get into them until college. Then I like listened to the White Album and I'm like, oh, this is way different than like the normal hits that people always play. This is like the greatest thing ever. Then I listened to Abbey Road, like, oh, that's actually even better than the White Album. Yeah, I would advise people to before making judgment to listen. But I will say, look, I haven't listened to every song Creed's ever made, but I feel confident in saying they suck.
You should.
Yeah. But the Beatles, you know, like there's hype and there's all, you know, all the stuff that goes along with them. When it comes down to it, like, no one's made more great music than the Beatles. No one's been more duplicated, copied,
and covered.
And I don't think that you could possibly put three more talented people than McCartney, Lennon, and Harrison in one band.
Look, the guy hates Ringo. Hates Ringo.
I mean, I like Ringo too, man. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to diss Ringo here. He was a hell of a drummer, and he had a few nice songs that we liked, but I'm just saying those other three on their own.
It's called the Fab Four, Chief.
Yes. Sorry, Ringo.
Very hurt.
I'm sorry, Ringo. Tarek Skubal, Tigers, trade him to the Dodgers. A lot of people are basically calling this the demise of baseball. I do think there's going to be a lockout next year.
Absolutely.
The huge war brewing here over the salary cap. But I also think people are maybe, you know, the thing about the Dodgers, it's interesting, Paul, is like, it wasn't that long ago they were a terrible franchise, filed for bankruptcy. Like, they've, you know, everybody looks at them and just like, well, it's LA, they have all the money, it's just a big market. It's all like, they probably should get some credit for like choices they've made and like doing, like running their business well, not just being the Dodgers and being in LA, right?
And they've got some, you know, role players or second level players who they've discovered and found who are excellent, but it's not hard to choose Freddie Freeman or Mookie Betts or Otani or Skubal.
Sure. I mean, obviously, they're in a position now where they're just like, let's go select. Well, just like your team. I mean,
well, listen, they don't get nearly as much grief for what they're doing still as for what the Yankees did when the Yankees were doing it. And, you know, the Yankees during their dynastic period had a core four of homegrown guys that were way more central than free agent like Otani or Betts. So I argue that the Dodgers still get off get a pretty free pass
compared to the Yankees.
Yeah,
okay, that's an interesting thought. I think there's a lot of complaining. Yeah, that I mean they're trying to catch up. Texture says the boy band Beatles sucked, but the LSD Beatles were awesome.
Well, there's a phase for everybody there.
Yeah, I mean, certainly the later Beatles was great. Gover says, I discovered the Beatles because other people said I should like them, but yes, I love the Beatles now because they're incredible. Right, like, if you actually listen to them, then...
Favorite song?
For me? God, I don't know, man. I mean, the medley at the end of Abbey Road, you know? Can you put that as one song?
I don't know. I'm a big day tripper guy.
Okay. That's a little earlier. Chad says, I think I prefer LSD era Joe and Paul.
Never going to find that for me. Joe probably wandering around wearing a Spartan helmet. I could see it.
Yeah, there you go. To protect from, like, jumping off a building. wear a helmet, feel all right. Texter says, but real talk. Oh, yeah, this texter's like, you know, I don't want to hear your Beatles. Don't give me this, your Beatles crap here. Also says, real talk with baseball. They don't get a salary cap and a floor in place. I'm done watching baseball. I'm tired of cheap-ass owners ruining the sport. I'm a salty Cardinals fan. So it is interesting, Paul. Like, I feel like the MLBPA, like, there was, like, a misunderstanding about what the cap. The cap is going to benefit more guys than it's going to hurt, right? It's going to hurt Scott Boras, right? And it's going to hurt those guys.
Good.
Yeah, but I mean, like, the MLBPA, to me, should be in favor of this, should it not?
Yeah, I think it hears cap and it automatically thinks restricted money. I mean, if you create a pool that is roughly, yeah, it'll help the middle guy.
Right.
You know.
There's more of them.
Filthy rich.
Yeah, there's more of them. Yeah. I mean, that, like, so, but, and yet it seems like it's obviously just a hard line stance of hell no, we don't want a cap.
But get to work on it now. You know, don't wait until the deadline. It's going to cost everybody to lock out. Just be more efficient.
Yeah. So, all right, so mean. Yo, I, we don't need to rip the Beatles. You know, if you have no musical taste, that's fine. But we don't need to be, you know, some very nasty comments about Robbie. I do not.
Is that ripping the Beatles or is that ripping Robbie?
Well, I'm just saying we don't need to get personal. You know, you get personal. It's okay.
Well, he's not here to defend himself.
Yeah, he's not here to defend himself.
And I'm sure you've had this discussion thousands of times.
I usually avoid it because it's just like, dude, that take, I can't even. I don't want to wade in those waters. It's like, I can't even. Like, what? What are we talking about here? Right? Like, it's an all-timer. So this week for you, we've had our Will Levis conversation. He said he's top 32 in the league. This became big news somehow across the NFL. Do we know who else is going to you said Falk is talking today. Do we have a schedule? We know who else is actually going to speak this week to Titans media, since it's like the scheduled out stuff that is limited, unfortunately.
It's been better. I mean, I've had some independent conversations with some people that have been productive. Tate is going to talk, scheduled to talk today. Falk is scheduled to talk today, and Alante Taylor is scheduled to talk.
Obviously, high interest in Tate. It appears that, you know, he's as advertised pretty much. Any, you know,
he's not been going off like he did for that segment of OTAs, but you know, he certainly looks the part. Had a nice touchdown in the back of the end zone against two guys that their social media did a good job of filming and getting out. That I think was on the first day from Cam Ward in that red zone period. I wrote a lot about where he had two throwaways but two touchdowns. You know, Falk is an interesting guy to watch out there. He's so tall and so big. And Taylor, you know, I'm trying
touchdown
to get,
Taylor, that's your guy.
Trying to get a better and better feel for how these tall corners are working outside. I'm working on a piece about that.
How does he look so far?
I think they both looked pretty good, Taylor and Flott, but it's hard to tell. I want to see him in some one-on-ones against these receivers, and maybe we'll get that as soon as today.
But so obviously you're used to there's some drills where you get, you know, whatever. But there's 7-on-7. There's also the individual drills. They haven't been doing any of the individual receiver on DB because those are always
I don't think that stuff's allowed. Those are so geared,
you know, toward the receiver.
I don't think that stuff's allowed during that. Last week's
pre-pads.
Acclimatization period. You love my use of that word.
Yeah, acclimatization. Well done. Okay, because that's, you know, the thing about those, like Taylor will get torched at times. They all will, because if it, when it's just you and the receiver, you're guessing, right? I mean, like to a large extent, you're guessing.
Yeah,
sometimes
well,
you guess right.
You're not steering the guy towards help or playing according to where your help is or anything of that. It's a serious, serious test of your one-on-one skills, but it should ultimately sharpen you. Yeah, you want the receivers to look really good in those periods.
And if anyone's a good route runner, then at all, then they should.
Should shred.
Yeah, should shred.
And balls should be precise.
Is that one of the Steve Smith rips
Ridley?
On Ridley, that he can't run routes?
I think
is that one of his?
He was fast and couldn't run routes.
Fast, can't run routes.
I didn't memorize it, though.
Yeah.
Your guy, Steve Smith. You know who loves me, Steve Smith, is TD. I'm not a huge Steve
I mean, he was
Smith
a great
guy.
Player.
Yeah.
Someone did – I know you're about to say it, but someone did ask on the text line to please explain again, lock the locks.
Don't block the box. Listen, you're at an intersection, you know, with a light. And I encourage you to, you know, you want to get through – the light, right, before it changes. But you cannot enter the intersection if there's not space for you to clear the intersection. If you get stuck in the middle of the intersection when the light changes, then people go in the other direction when it's their green light, can't get through it. You got to stay out until you're sure you can make it through. Otherwise, you're blocking the box.
You don't have time to explain lock the locks, but we did just mention LSD earlier, yeah. So we can tell that story another day. Thanks for listening, everybody. Next
don't
man up with Jake
locks.
Lyman.
Be sure to lock the locks.
Coming up next, right? 102.5 The Game.